Next morning, the legal formalities began. Her father had brought an entire court to the house, judge, advocates, recording clerks, and all. Once she was sworn in as heir, the true land bride, the real work began. Every land steward, including Papa Stefan and her father, had to submit an accounting of the management of each division of the land bride's gift. Esme learned things about the family estancia she had never known, because in her great-grandmother's long tenure as land bride, changes had been made before Esme was born, which had now to be explained. From the trivial to the major, the last 70 years of history were laid out in detail. Esme would have stipulated that the accounts were correct if she could, but the judge would have none of it.
You were away, Sarah. You cannot know. And although these are your family, and you are naturally reluctant to consider them capable of the least infidelity or dishonesty, it is my duty to protect both you and the land bride gift itself. These accounts must be scrutinized carefully. That is why we brought along the accountants from the registry.
Oh, and how long will that take?
Meanwhile, Sarah, as long as a representative of your family is here to answer any questions, we need not detain you.
That was a relief. Esme escaped, only to be captured by Lucy, who had in mind a lengthy discussion of the herd she managed for Esme. From one accountant to another, but Lucy was so eager to explain what she'd been doing that Esme did not resist as she was led through the kitchens, out the back of the house, and into the stable offices.
You hadn't said what direction you wanted to take, so I decided to sell the bottom 10% at the regional sales, not under your name. Your reproductive rates are above the family average, but not much.
I didn't know they could be improved at all.
Oh, yes. I started reading off-world equine reproductive journals. Couldn't afford a lot of what they talk about, but I made some changes in management, and everyone smirked at me until the first full crop. Then they said it was normal statistical variation, but your second full crop hit the ground this year, and it was a point ahead of last year's.
Esme had never had any interest in equine reproduction, but she knew natural enthusiasm when she saw it. Lucy had learned strategies for identifying the best mares and which should be culled from the herd. She had even looked into exporting gene stock to other horse-breeding worlds at a profit after an initial investment. Esme was satisfied that she had definitely picked the right manager for her herd, and maybe more than that. When all the business topics had been exhausted, Lucy gave Esme a challenging stare.
You look worse than you did when you left.
You have less tact.
Was it the fighting? They say the blood horde is terrible.
No. I don't really want to talk about it.
You weren't this grumpy before either. Something's wrong.
The girl was persistent as a horsefly. It crossed Esme's mind that tactical ability could be shown in more than one way.
I have had some problems. There's nothing you could do. What?
Since you're making me guess, I say you are lovesick. You have all the signs.
Lovesick?
So, is it lovesickness? Or something else?
Lucy, there are things I can't tell you about. Fleet things. Sometimes bad things happen.
Esme, for pity's sake. I grew up in a military household. I can tell worry about a war from a personal worry. And you needn't try to pretend that's what's going on.
Well, it is, Ms. Persistence. Great-grandmother died. I've had to take on the whole estate. There's a lot to worry about.
Lucy turned the conversation back to the horses, and for an hour they spoke only of this line or that, this outcross line or another. Finally, they walked up to the house together.
Are you going to marry and settle down here, cousin? The way Papa Stefan wants?
Esme realized that this indelicate question had been blurted within the hearing of half the kitchen staff and Berthold, who had wandered into the kitchen before the meal as usual.
I'm a fleet officer. You know I told everyone I would have to appoint a trustee and an heir.
Yes, I know that. But you hadn't spent even a week on Altiplano yet. You could change your mind. Especially if things aren't going well in your fleet.
Esme could have done without that. Berthold's humor was uncomfortable at best. He finished chewing a couple of olives he'd filched.
You see what she's like.
I'm ready for lunch. And those had better not be the export-quality olives.
You sound exactly like grandmother. She could squeeze oil out of the very smell of olive.
Esme led the way to the dining room.
Lunch. A morning spent with lawyers and accountants and then Lucy has starved my brain.
Pradesh Lorani turned the pamphlet over and over in his hands. He wasn't sure about this. Yes, it was totally unfair that Merlin had taken the children and moved away, that Sophia and Tara had been promoted over his head, that over half the seats on the station's Citizens' Council were held by women. He loathed the very thought of artificial births and manipulation of the human genome. If that wasn't interfering with God's plan, he couldn't think of anything that was. But while he agreed in principle that society was corrupt and degraded, he could not quite convince himself that therefore it naturally followed that blowing up people was a godly act. He made up his mind. He would continue to support the Gender Defense League. He would continue to argue with his former wife that she was misunderstanding his reasons for disciplining the children by traditional methods. But he would not attend the next meeting with the representative of the God-fearing militia who had attempted to recruit him to help place explosive charges. In a spasm of disgust, he threw the pamphlet toward the orifice of the station's recycling system, but he turned away before it slid into the chute and did not see it miss to land right in front of the "Please Ensure Trash Enters Hopper" sign. Nor did he see the prune-faced old woman who glared at his retreating back as she stooped to pick up the crumpled pages and put them in carefully, but who stopped, her attention arrested by the glaring grammatical error in the first sentence. Sarah Alicia Spielman, as ardent a grammarian as she was a supporter of public neatness, took the pamphlet home to use as a bad example in her next complaint to the local school trustees. But when she read it, she called her friend, whose grandson was a member of station security, instead. She did not connect the lazy litter bum or her own actions with the discovery, 2 days later, of the corpse of one Pradesh Lorani, who had been brutally attacked in his own apartment. Others made that connection.